Welcome to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, and today we're talking about aerial yoga. I'm a total wimp when it comes to yoga, and I feel like there should be a specialty class for big, out-of-shape guys who can't even touch their knees, and I think we should call it big fat yoga. It'll be like the men's equivalent of prenatal yoga. But as hard as it is for me to picture successfully doing regular yoga, I really can't imagine what aerial yoga is and who could possibly do it. My guests in the studio today are both pregnant with their first babies and are both aerial yogis. Is that right?
Yes, that's right.
My first guest is a celebrity trainer and the creator and founder of Up Flying Yoga. She is yoga doctor certified, yoga medicine trained, and has spent over 10,000 hours defying gravity creating Up Flying Yoga and Up Fly Aerial Dance. She is best known for her strong belief in the therapeutic power of aerial yoga arts. Kimberly Simonetti, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
I'm very excited to learn more about this. Also with us tonight is Los Angeles-based executive producer specializing in unscripted television with credits on teeny tiny networks like USA, ABC, Fox, Bravo, Lifetime, and VH1, to name a few. Katie is also a certified up-flying yoga and aerial dance instructor and aerial performer. In addition to her aerial arts, Katie is an avid fitness enthusiast and enjoys hiking, yoga, and Pilates. Katie, welcome to the podcast.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Oh my goodness. So, okay, you're the first person, Kimberly, that I ever met who I know does aerial yoga, and not just does it, like you live it.
This is true.
And then just a few days later, I met Katie. So I thought you were the only one, and then it turns out—
There's two.
You aren't. There are two, and you're both pregnant, so there will be four.
This is also true. We've got big plans for these babies. Yes. They're going to be in the air ASAP.
All right. First of all, how did you get into aerial yoga, each of you?
Well, let's see. I started the company about 8 years ago, and I got into aerial arts 2 years previous of that. I grew up actually watching my dad hang upside down. He has spinal stenosis, which is like a blockage in the spinal column. So if he kind of jars too quickly to the left or the right, the spinal column can shift and he can actually be paralyzed. Oh, and wow. It's happened a few times, you know, growing up, seeing him not be able to use his
legs.
He
gets knocked off his feet. Wow.
Yeah. So he's been Batman for me growing up, and, you know, seeing that happened got me doing inversions. And then I have a damaged kidney also, and I have to do everything holistically.
Damaged kidney from early on?
Yeah, I was actually born breech. And
I was born
surprise.
Breech.
Well, mine didn't work out as well.
Oh, really?
I got a damaged kidney and a damaged bladder.
Because of the breech birth?
Yeah, they pulled me out with forceps and they damaged them. Yep, so I had surgery when I was 5 and learned breath work at that age, actually, by one of the nurses
really?
At the hospital.
At 5 years old?
Yep. And actually, it was much like when you see in the movies the C-section where they put, like, the blanket between you, the upper body, and the lower body. And, yeah, I have very vivid imagery of that.
Really?
Yeah. But that did not get me into aerial yoga. What got me into aerial yoga was definitely having to do things holistically. I couldn't take NSAIDs, so, like, you know, people take, you know, antibiotics and things of that nature. And I
just, like, even Advil?
Can't drink alcohol. Yeah, so there's...
Because of your kidney?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Because of a damaged kidney, yeah. And so...
You knew early on. I mean, at 5, probably alcohol wasn't a big deal, but...
Yeah, I was a huge drinker at 5. By the age of 21, you know, when you can show your ID, it's not cool anymore.
So that's right. You got to get it all in early on.
Yeah.
I don't know. Did you... I mean, did they tell you early on, like, these things are going to be off limits to you, or did you find out the hard
like,
way?
Yeah, growing up, like, I knew, like, when I would have too much sodium, it would show up in my hands and it would show up in my face.
Oh,
like,
swelling.
It was very obvious. Yeah, the swelling, things like that, and just... Anytime I tried to take an antibiotic, my body wouldn't agree
with it.
Because
you're just not filtering. You're not filtering out what needs to get filtered out.
Yep, I wasn't filtering it
correctly. At the same level, yeah.
Yeah, so getting upside down in those inversions helped lymphatic system.
Oh.
Quite a bit, yeah. Like, I noticed a big difference when I had to stop during IVF and during the first trimester, not hanging upside down. I was having, colds and
things like that. Oh, your symptoms would come back.
Yeah.
So, wait, how do you go from 5-year-old breath work to... aerial yoga?
Well, I wasn't allowed to do contact sports growing up. So, like, when all the kids would go to gym, I wasn't allowed to do gym. And I ended up doing cheerleading and pom-pom. Pom-pom is an East Coast thing. I don't even know if you guys know what pom-pom
is. I don't know
what
it is.
It's like these little they're like pom-pons that you hold in your hand and you just like cheer with the colors
of
the school.
Yeah.
It's like cheerleading, but you have like the kick line.
Oh, I see.
Like the Rockettes, maybe?
Yeah.
That's how
they work. Rockettes
with
little pom-poms.
You don't have cheerleaders in England.
Really?
You don't have cheerleaders there, no?
You don't need them. Just too cheerful already.
Well, I don't know about that, but... Yeah.
It's... Yeah. So I did that growing up and, you know, they basically aerial dance and, you know, cheer and pom-pom and they all go into each other, you know, yoga, encouraging other people.
When did you start doing regular yoga?
Regular yoga I did starting like middle school when I was doing cheerleading and
we were required
to do the splits. And then the breath work, like I said, I had to start it when I was five, introduced to it, like breathing in, you know, white snowflakes and exhaling any negative energies. I mean, it was a nurse in the hospital that was teaching me that.
Oh. Yeah. What point did you get exposed to aerial yoga?
Let's see. So I was an avid runner, and there's that idea of the runner's high, and I had that going on, and then I injured my back, and it was probably, you know, due to excessive running and the damaged kidney and, you know, the bladder and things of that nature probably didn't help it as well. So I had to stop doing that, and I needed, like, some sort of workout, and because my arms were still available, I was like, yes, I can climb fabric. So then I found aerial arts and started doing that, and on silks, it's, like, two ribbons that don't have a base at the bottom of it.
Okay.
So it's something that you have to do pretty advanced, and it was too soon for me to be an advanced student, and so the hammock and the base of it, it was just, it made sense. So I started putting together a syllabus, and Katie was, you know, my BFF at that time. And
listen, you put a hammock connecting the two silks?
Yeah, so it'd be like a silk has two ribbons, putting it upside down so you could hang out in the base of it. So doing traction on a traction table, you're hooked at the ankles. And I was like, hold on a second. We could, like, hang upside down in this thing. We could do not only cool aerial tricks, but we could stretch out and be in this thing all the time. Like, how fun is that?
And so, you don't have to support yourself because there's a hammock.
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds...
Yeah. A lot of people describe it as the womb, ironically.
The womb?
I hear that quite a bit, yeah.
Just we get hanging, you mean?
Well, we get inside of it in the very beginning of class, and you put your feet together like Baddha... Do you know what Baddha-Konasana is? Or
no.
Butterfly position through the legs.
Okay.
Yeah,
so the feet together, knees out wide.
Yeah. I can picture it.
So we get in there in the beginning of class, and you're completely covered in this fabric. And so no one can see you, but you can kind of see out into it. It allows you to get into that little zen moment so you can connect the body to the mind and work on just relaxing your muscles so you can get deeper stretch and better workout. And
so
the womb.
You're in your own little space.
Yep.
How many are there of these contraptions in a
class? We have 15 in our studio.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Strong ceiling.
It actually looks really cool when you have 15 people all in the
little pods
together.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they're kind of all in this, like, it actually creates a really neat shape. Mm-hmm. And usually the lights are kind of turned down a little low at the beginning of class because everyone's kind of just getting into the head space of it all.
Outside of the active, real, busy world.
Exactly. Just... Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Katie, you're from the UK.
I am, yes.
Back when it was part of Europe.
Yes.
But that aside, what brought you this way?
I came out here with a show called Super Nanny that was originally a British show, and it got sold to ABC. And when that happened, I had already been working on the show in the UK, and it was kind of just naturally... They shipped me out here. It was supposed to be for a few months, and I'm still here 13 years later.
Oh, wow. So it's a lot of months.
Yes, exactly. It turned from a few into a whole lot of months.
And when did your interest in aerial work begin?
So when I came out here, I was kind of looking for a new workout. I had done some dance stuff in England. And to be honest with you, I was kind of turned off by the dance scene here. I had preconceived notions that it was going to be very cliquey. And, you know, I was just, I guess looking back, I was afraid of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was looking for a new workout that had a dance base to it, but was also challenging and something new. So I found as Ariel Silks class. As Kim was saying earlier, Ariel Silks is probably one of the most advanced apparatuses you can choose.
When you say that, it's because you have to hold yourself the whole time?
Yes, and you have to climb. So
up.
Everything you have to...
really strong upper body.
Yeah.
Yes. So I didn't have that, and I took the class, and I was like, oh my God, I literally cannot do anything. But there was all these other people, and they looked so amazing with what they were doing. I was like, I have to come back. You know, I have to, like, try and be able to do
get
something.
Yeah.
It was challenging.
Yeah.
It was like, gotta get the challenge.
So I persisted with it, and, you know, it's such a community, the aerial world. You know, I found a couple of different places that were offering these aerial silks classes. I met my best friend Kim. You know, I met a bunch of other people.
Oh, that's where you met?
That's where we
met.
Yeah. An aerial silks class. And, you know, the journey kind of just began from there. And then Kim was expressing an interest in opening her own studio and had injuries that she was working on. So the aerial yoga conversation came up, and we just kind of, I was part of the journey.
How long have you guys known each other? How long ago was that?
8 years.
8, 9 years.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're still talking to each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you perform together.
We
it's
do.
True. Yeah, we have a double doubles act that we do around town. We haven't done it in the past 7 months.
How do you do it? Well, yeah, you've been busy. You each have your own doubles act going on.
Yeah,
right,
at this
exactly.
point. Wait, how do you transport around, like, around town? How do you, is the apparatus movable?
Yeah, I actually have a couple different ones that we use for shows. They look like a swing set, but they go up really tall.
Okay.
And some people use something called trussing, which you use to hang lighting and stuff as well. So you can use either of those, or it can be affixed to a ceiling that's indoors. But the apparatus itself, you know, we just set it up and hook it up and made sure, like, everything is safe and that we have the structural foundation and that we feel good in it so that we can do it till we're 100 years old. That's our plan.
At least.
That's our plan,
yeah.
How high do you go when you're doing these?
The maximum that I feel comfortable with is 25 feet, but, I mean, people go hundreds of feet.
And when you do that, are you doing hammock or silks? Or
either both? Or, yeah. So this is with performance. This isn't with aerial yoga. With aerial yoga, we focus on, like, stretching and taking care of the body and doing body balancing and aerial dance classes. That's where we kind of do more cardio, more fitness-based stuff, and then make the lines look, you know, more dancer-like.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, we have an aerial chandelier, actually, that holds about over a dozen bottles of alcohol, so you can pour drinks down to the guests at
parties.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's at thelovelyhearts.com is where you can see cool imagery of it.
That does sound cool. I will check it out.
But the height stuff, I mean, that would typically be your silks if you're going to go up there and do, once you get to teach in our more advanced classes, you'll learn sequences with drops in, and that typically involves climbing to the very top, creating a wrap, and then letting go so that you fall close to the bottom of the fabric.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously for that, you need height. So that's where your height kind of comes into play.
Yeah. And you need the aerial yoga to recover from
exactly.
that drop.
The therapeutic aerial yoga.
When you say make a wrap, that's not the kind of wrap I usually
make. No burrito.
When someone wants to... Who would be a good candidate to say, hey, maybe aerial yoga is right for me?
You would be a great candidate.
Me?
Yeah.
Anyone and everyone.
Yeah.
What?
This is true. So it's a great, it's like we call it like the prop. It's the modification. So if you can't reach your hand to your foot, like you're trying to reach forward, you can put your foot in the fabric and it holds you in place. You can kind of just like inch your way forward, holding onto the fabric up above. So then you slowly start to get flexible. And like I said, when we're resting in the fabric in the very beginning, it's much like the idea of an anxiety blanket.
How high off the ground is that?
3 feet off the ground.
3?
Yep.
I could fall 3 feet.
Yeah, you won't have to fall. We'll make sure you're secure in place. Yeah.
I'm seeing an Instagram picture coming to light here.
I think it needs to happen.
Try this one day.
I think it needs to happen. I mean, the beautiful thing about aerial yoga, and as Kim is saying, it using it as a prop, it actually helps you achieve some advanced yoga positions. For example, like getting the feeling of a handstand, you can achieve in aerial yoga a lot more supported with the hammock than what you would building up to in a regular yoga class.
Yeah.
So it has great benefits of being you being able to try out some of those more advanced poses in the comfort of the hammock with the support of the hammock. So you get that feeling on your wrists without having to take all the weight.
Oh, yeah. And then because also, look, I have a lot of clients who do yoga all the time.
Yeah.
And they look so grounded and so healthy. None mm-hmm. of them, I'm generalizing, but the ones who have a regular yoga practice just really seem to be able to take the stresses of life and be able to process them in a much healthier way than people who don't have that kind of outlet. But I also see people who want to do yoga but have injuries like to the wrists. Yeah. But it sounds like with this apparatus, you can sort of minimize some of the strain on the joints. And also, I know that I've honestly only done probably three times done yoga or tried. And the first time was a total disaster. I went into a gym, into a multi-purpose room. I didn't see that there was yoga going on in the corner, and I wanted to just punch and kick the bags in there. And I walked in with my friend Moose, and they were like, "Hi, we have yoga class." And I'm like, "Oh, we'll come back. What time's it over?" He's like, no, come in. Yoga's for everyone." I'm like, "No, you haven't met me. Yoga's not for me." He's like, "Oh, yoga's for everyone." And then I would say, like, Moose wanted to try it. So we went, and there were, like, seven or eight people in the class. They did a pose called, I think it's called Upside Down Tree.
Okay.
Like a handstand sort of situation.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And he broke it down to three parts. He's like, first reach forward and touch your toes. And I'm like struggling and reach my knees. Then he did this thing where like halfway up, and then you have to like kick your legs up the rest of the way.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the people just went right up.
Yeah.
No problem. Easy as can be. Moose tried a few times and eventually got it. My first couple of times, I tried. I wasn't getting far enough. And he's like, "Kick your weight. Use all your weight. Kick hard. Kick hard. Don't be afraid." I kicked so hard that I came over the other side. And there was a mirrored wall, and I slammed into the mirrored wall, and it shattered.
And he said, "You're making this up."
No. And then he said, "Yoga may not be for everyone."
Okay, that's a really difficult pose. We actually can have you do it in your first session because we're hooked at the hips. So we get you upside down where you just relax your entire body. So you're getting some space through your spine. You're hooked all the way at the hips. It's a nice little kind of binding at the hips, so mm-hmm. you actually get to relax the vertebrae a little bit easier.
Oh, that's for me.
And it's like some really cool trigger point release. You know all this because you do this with your chiropractor care. So we're pressing like on the QL muscles. We're pressing on the sacrum, hugging the sacrum in. We're getting to like the
Wait, you're doing that while?
No,
the fabric does it for you.
The weight of the fabric is doing this for you while you're upside down.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you're just relaxing your back and you're relaxing your neck and you're unlocking all those kinks.
Amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Can kids do it?
Yeah, kids can do it. Yeah, they like more dance than they like yoga, of course.
No, I want to bring my whole family, all six of us.
All right, let's do it.
For a little family outing.
Let's do it.
Is there a weight limit on it?
1,000 pounds.
Yeah, so far so good.
And it's actually a little bit more than 1,000 pounds, but 27 kilonewton, yeah.
Wow. Do you know what the heaviest you've ever had in there was?
350, 380.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, we had a celebrity in there that was ready to go for it. And it's really interesting because you have a heavier set person and you might assess like it's going to be more difficult for them. But it's surprisingly like to see them like go through it and just, you know, own it and, you know, be really strong throughout the whole thing and just.
Well, the way you're describing it. So the second time I did yoga was a private, just me and someone who actually worked at our office. She does private yoga. And she would sort of suggest get into this position, and then I'd struggle to do it. And she had all these different things, like little blocks and straps and bolsters.
Yeah.
And she's like, "Oh, just put your hand on this one."
Yeah.
But it sounds like your hammock kind of does all of that built in for you.
So
it sounds like it'd actually be easier than land-based yoga.
Yeah, we use a lot of Iyengar techniques where the Iyengar-based classes use like a lot of props. But then you're setting up props for half the class and you end up getting into like five amazing poses, mm-hmm. but they only get to be five poses. So we're using something called like PNF technique where it's used in sports medicine quite a bit where we warm up the muscle and then we stretch the muscle.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
And stretcher.
Yeah. So we get to do that through a bunch of poses, through a series of poses. And the prop is the hammock. So it easily translates from one pose to the next pose to the next pose. So we have this nice flow to it where it gets to feel a little bit more like in yoga, it's like called a vinyasa flow class where it's pretty popular in Los Angeles. It's got a nice little rhythm to it.
Sounds nice. Wow. All right. We're already at our little halfway point, and I still have so much to find out. Let's take a little break, and we're going to be right back with Kimberly Simonetti and Katie Soul on the Informed Pregnancy Podcast.
I understand the mental demands of motherhood. I see it every day in my practice. That's why I'm excited about Needed's new cognitive support. Unlike other supplements, it's specifically formulated with postpartum and breastfeeding moms in mind, using safe and effective ingredients. This means that moms can get the brain boost they deserve without compromising safety. Plus, it includes clinically studied ingredients, proven to support focus and memory. Hurry and get your cognitive support from Needed before you forget. Visit thisisneeded.com and user code Berlin to get 20% off your initial order. This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash. Welcome back to the Informed Pregnancy and Parenting Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Elliot Berlin, and we're continuing our discussion with Kimberly Simonetti and Katie Soul on aerial yoga and aerial arts, which are not the same thing.
No.
Well, at least we have an agreement here. But the difference is...
aerial yoga is more for balance, for stretching, for balance and stretching. Yeah, it's like good for the therapeutic, for the brain, for the body, for the spirit. Not that aerial arts or aerial dance doesn't do that as well, but I mean, being a dancer, you're trying to get longer lines, you're trying to point your toes further, you're trying to like go into like full extension in your splits. And
I think as well, it's different goals for the clients. We see like a definite like type of personality that kind of gravitates towards the yoga versus the dance. And then you'll have the students that gravitate towards the dance and then realize when they're sore that they need to
get to the
gravitate to the yoga.
It's more rehabilitative.
Yeah.
It can be, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And unlike the silks that you both talked about being very challenging and hard, you don't need that upper body strength. Do you have to be in good shape to start yoga, aerial yoga?
No, not at all.
No, and you will get the upper body strength doing the yoga.
Over
because
time.
There are, yeah, exactly. Because even though it's a kind of slower progression because everything is gentler than obviously jumping into a hardcore aerial arts discipline, majority of the postures that you're doing involve, you know, we do a lot of arm work, a lot of core work, a lot of leg work. It's a kind of a full body.
So the strength. Do you stay in that hammock 3 feet off the ground the whole time? Or do you start to move up?
We have you do the meditation in the very beginning, and then about maybe 7 or 8 minutes in, you'll take 2 feet to the ground or 1 foot to the ground so that you can kind of find that groundedness in it as well as why you're getting used to it. And of course, we have level one classes and level two classes. And our level twos, we might be off the ground the entire hour. But we want to be sure that you feel comfortable.
Do you ever climb up higher than the 3 feet?
Not in our aerial yoga classes. In our yoga classes, we go, the highest we go is 8 feet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But in the dance classes, we go to the ceiling.
Well, in the same apparatus?
We can use the same apparatus or we can use the silks, which don't have the base of the the bottom of it. But the same apparatus, we start you with an aerial dance level one class that teaches you how to learn to use the muscles properly. So everybody's trapezius muscles, like those big muscles on the neck and the back, mm-hmm. are really strong, and everybody starts to depend on those first. So we try to get their deep muscles to turn on for them. So we want that little base where they're almost sitting like in a chair and being able to do a pull-up for a quick second, so mm-hmm. they can engage those muscles instead of the superficial muscles.
So exciting.
it's all a little package, a little rhythm, like to, yeah. I mean, like I said, in the beginning, our plan was to do this till we're 100 years old. So I made sure I did a lot of research, a lot of homework so that I can stay in the air forever.
Oh, how often do you guys do it? Well, now let's talk about this. You're both preggers.
Yeah.
Did you think you were going to be pregnant at the same time?
We both had miscarriages.
Yeah. And we were
time?
Both trying to, well, yours was,
I had, yeah,
mine.
2014 and 2016, and then I was going through the IVF process before you were.
Yeah, we were active. I had frozen some eggs a while back, and then Kim and I were kind of having the conversations about wanting to get pregnant, and Kim was actually trying before I was. And then I started trying, got pregnant fairly quickly, had a miscarriage, had to take a bunch of time to get my body right again, and then started trying. So we've been actively trying to get pregnant
at
the same time. Yeah. It just so happened that I got pregnant 3 months before Kim the second time, and then Kim got pregnant, and fortunately, these pregnancies
are looking good.
Yeah.
It's like the rhythm. We have another teacher at Up Flying Yoga that is also pregnant. And
oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
I went through 4 IVFs. I had to have 3 uterine septum surgeries.
Wow.
So it was a little bit of a process, and, you know, 2 miscarriages before that.
Sorry, well, those are so hard.
Yeah.
The journey is so long. I wish you guys were more open and sharing.
It is interesting. Yeah. And yeah, that's why it's kind of like we're spilling our beans on a podcast, because people need to know.
Yeah.
It is like something where you're not supposed to say that you're pregnant until week 12. And that's one of those things where you have to harbor, if it doesn't work out, that you hold.
Oh, because nobody knew.
Yeah.
So you're on your own.
Yeah, so you're on your own. You know, it's
we
between
had,
my
I mean,
husband
we have
and
a whole,
I.
And whole episode of our podcast on early miscarriage, and I talk about it there too. My wife and I had miscarriages in that time frame, and they were just so challenging and isolating
brutal.
And lonely. And
yeah.
But you know, thank God we have 4 healthy kids now, and
yeah.
you guys are on your way.
Yeah,
I think the tragic thing about miscarriage, I mean, the whole thing is tragic, but this is just me, but it really has had an impact on me for this second pregnancy, because you're constantly, like, the fear, it's like hard to turn that voice off, you know, especially mm-hmm. in the first trimester. You know, it's like, oh, if I can just make it to 12 weeks.
I don't think we turned it off till the first birthday.
Yeah, I can see
that.
Like
no,
the whole first year, you know, he would sleep 5 hours and you should be ecstatic. But we're like, oh, my God, what happened? You know, you're just always concerned that he's not going to be there.
Yeah, I mean, you're trying to prepare as much as possible. I think in 2014 I did prenatal yoga teacher training so that I would make sure I did all the right things. And then in 2016 I did the spinning babies method training.
Oh, yeah.
And
you're a doula.
Yep, and then just before this one, I did doula training.
You're Katie's doula.
She's my doula.
Yep, I'm Katie's doula.
Wow.
Well, as of right now, we'll see. We've got a little bit more time for, you know.
Not so much more time.
Yeah.
And you did your training where I did my training.
Yeah, Beanie Birth.
Beanie Birth. So we're technically doula siblings.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. Yeah, that's a magical space. It's really.
It's the birth castle.
Yep.
That's what it looks like. All right. So how about during pregnancy? Can you do the aerial things while you're pregnant?
You can do it while you're pregnant. I actually didn't do it my first trimester this time. I was too scared. I just I had went through 2 miscarriages and I wasn't ready for it, you know. And of course, my OB's like, you have to exercise. And I was like, yep, on it. But I was really waiting for that 12 weeks. I just didn't want to relive that experience again. And after 12 weeks, I felt confident and got back up in the air. And I actually practice daily. I go through inversions daily. It's really good for the body, gets the baby moving around. So I'm hopefully planning on having a beautiful labor and delivery. And no matter which way it turns out, it'll be beautiful as long as I have a healthy, happy baby.
I wonder if you'll do it because, you know, as a doula, I witness a lot of times people feel compressed during labor.
Yeah.
And they're constantly looking for things to hang on. But that'll be so natural to you.
Yeah, I've had a lot of pregnant women go through the studio and they've gone through. I mean, I even had one of my clients. She's actually, she has two up flying yoga babies is what we call them because she went to classes twice a week during,
during her,
both
pregnancies?
Her pregnancies.
Oh, yeah. Cool.
And she had to miss class one night because she had to deliver the baby. It was really cute. She's like, I have a good excuse. Can I have a refund on that class?
You get a doctor's note.
Yeah, you need a doctor's note.
Although she does have evidence. Katie, your pregnancy has been a little challenging.
Yeah, it has. So I had really, really high hopes of continuing not just aerial yoga, but just exercise in general.
What other types of exercise do you normally do?
I usually do, I do grounded yoga, and I'll do hot yoga. So I knew the hot yoga was kind of probably a no-go.
Have you ever done frozen yoga?
Okay. No, but someone should start that.
I know. It's probably not healthy, but it would take off anyway. Yeah.
Pilates, hiking. I was doing some indoor bouldering right before I got pregnant. I just taken that up as a hobby with my fiance. So I kind of knew I was going to have to stop that. I knew the aerial arts. Like, I know I definitely didn't want to be working at height and that kind of stuff, but I really, really was hoping that I could continue aerial yoga, regular yoga, Pilates. And I actually did for a little bit in my first trimester. And then I came to the end of the first trimester and I had a horrible experience with a subchorionic hematoma.
Okay.
And a complete placenta previa, and I was hemorrhaging blood, like thick clots. It was super scary, especially with the history of miscarriage. So you know, obviously multiple ultrasounds and doctor's visits, we found out what it was, which was actually really comforting. It's nice to know that you have something that is, you know,
not dangerous, super common.
Well, kind of common and monitorable and, you know, just, you know, there was like a lot of positive stories out there, positive outcome stories. But one of the things I was told was that I had to, you know, pretty much limit my activities.
Oh.
So I couldn't work out.
I've been dying for somebody to tell me that.
It's the worst because that's how I stress relief would be to work out. And like all my friends are like, that's what we do. We work out together. So it was kind of a bit of a blow to have to be on a kind of sedentary path, and it kind of has stayed like that the rest of my pregnancy. I was cleared for a couple of months at the end of towards the end of the second trimester, and then shortened cervix happened. So I was told no exercise, pelvic rest, you know, all of that kind of stuff.
But, you know, I also talked to you about this earlier, which is that you had so much fitness equity from before your pregnancy, where you ate well, worked out a lot, were very active, that your body's in really good, strong shape. And so as much as it doesn't feel good to not be working out and not be active for you, you're still in a pretty healthy place.
Right. And yeah, and that's comforting. I think for me, it was more the mind game of it all. You know, you kind of, I dig myself into a hole of like, I'm going to lose all my strength. My body's going to be harder to get back. You know, all of this. Like,
there's a lot of meditation. A lot of meditation moments for you.
Yeah.
Well, at least you can meditate.
Yes, although that's the most challenging part of yoga for me is meditation part. Yeah.
Does your mind move quickly?
Overactive mind.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I can relate to that. What were we talking about? Just kidding.
Pregnancy journeys.
I think. So we're both pregnant.
And I hang out with pregnant women all the time. It's occupational hazard. I can't remember a thing. Okay. We talked about in the introduction that you are, Dr. Kimberly, you are yoga doctor and yoga medicine certified and trained.
Mm-hmm.
What are those?
Yoga doctors is actually an awesome group led by Eden Goldman and Tara Gold. And they teach at Loyola Marymount University. They are a 200-hour accredited yoga school. And it's the first one, I believe, that was even at a university that was recognized by a university.
But what is the concept of yoga doctor?
So concept of yoga doctors, we studied 12 different forms of yoga and talked about, like, within the 200-hour realm to be certified through Yoga Alliance. We covered everything that Yoga Alliance required of us, but yoga doctor specifically speaks therapeutic-based. So we talk about each of the poses, the purpose of each pose, the benefits of each pose, the reason why you do each of the pose more medically wise than you would spiritually wise. So some of them focus more, some of the schools focus more on maybe chakras or spiritual energies.
And yoga doctors is more about muscles, ligaments, tendons, joints.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. Soon there'll be yoga surgeons.
Sorry?
Yoga surgeons. I don't know what that means.
I don't know what that means either.
But that's what, when yoga doctors came to mind, I sort of picture.
Yeah.
But that's what it kind of is, which is that you're using yoga principles to therapeutically heal the body on a more physical, because yoga is part spiritual, part physical, right?
Yeah.
So they focus more on the physical.
Yeah, they all complement each other, but there's so many types. When you say the word yoga, it could mean a lot of different things. It could just mean meditation, could just mean breath work. You know, it could mean the physical asanas is usually what it means for most people, or the physical postures moving through an hour class.
Mm-hmm.
But they all intertwine together and they connect, and the pieces of the puzzle that come together get to be a really nice piece that completes you as a person so that you get the most benefits out of that hour session.
Are there, getting back to yoga, aerial yoga, up flying yoga, is there a like a time when all first timers come together?
Our level one class, we have a lot of first timers. We'll have it probably be about like 50% beginners and then 50% advanced people, or people that have been at least a dozen times.
To level one?
Yeah, to level one. People come back to level one because it's a good foundation, and there are advanced poses. So the instructor will give you a move that's a modification. If you can't do it well enough yet, then you do this. If you have this in advanced, then you'll do this position instead. So it complements each other very well. You can have beginners and advanced together.
How often do people do it?
Once or twice a week.
How often do you have classes?
We have about 5 classes a day, 7 days a week.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
That's access. Are there things that you can do at home that somehow similar to continue it when you're not in the studio?
Yeah, I mean, you can't necessarily hang upside down, and that's the number one benefit, is just having that inversion where, you know, you can do your handstand where you press against the mirror and break the mirror.
Upside,
you know,
there's
those, but you know, you can do that if you want to.
Right.
But if you want to have 7 years of good luck, then you come into the studio
and let us
and you
take
hang
care
upside
of it,
down, yeah, and you get to relax all your muscles instead of working all your muscles. So you focus actually on calming the muscles and the nervous system and to get the spinal column to break up a little bit.
It sounds
bit.
So good. Does anybody ever install this thing at home? Because it sounds like you'd get addicted to it.
Yeah, we have people that, get their home regs going on, and they do seem to come back to classes. It's different when you have someone instructing you to get into the meditation and get into the poses, but, you know, when you need a
conversion. Right, well, I sometimes work out at home, but it's totally different than a group.
It's like taking a snack. You get a real snack first. Class. You just go to a quick conversion, get upside down, get the neck to relax.
It really is the best. I mean, even like I have a rig at home, and even just sitting in it and doing the little womb pose that Kim was talking about at the beginning of the podcast, like that just alone, like that process of just like shutting yourself off.
Yeah, it's really nice.
It's just, it's, you know, aside from exercising, like that just kind of centers me.
It's making me think about my breech mamas.
Yeah.
And how they're always trying to do inversions and see if they can get whichever part of the baby's down in the pelvis to kind of slide out.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of the things about studying the spinning babies method was going, okay, this is right for me. This is really good. It's like I've been creating pregnant women.
Do people come in and have a fear of heights, even though it's only 3 feet?
Yeah. Yep, that happens.
Because you're floating.
Yeah. I mean, we have people that are afraid to go upside down and they're there. It's really kind of cool to see because they're there because they're trying to
overcome that fear.
Overcome that fear, yeah.
How long does it take?
It's different for everyone.
Yeah.
I mean, sometimes it's the first session. They'll go upside down the first time. They'll be scared out of their minds. Their palms are sweating. We'll get them upside down. They'll stay maybe for about 20 seconds. And the second time, we do it twice during the hour. The second time, they'll feel a little bit better, but still nervous. And then at the end of class, we'll offer people to take photos. And then all of a sudden, they just jump upside down and they know how to do all the poses.
My palms are already sweating and I'm not there.
And Willis, if someone is really... having a hard time getting their head around going upside down, like, we'll assist.
No pun intended.
Yeah. sometimes it's just as simple as placing, like, a gentle hand on their back and just letting them know. Like, you, as an instructor, you know that the hammock is there to support them. Like, you're not going to have to do anything, but just that physical kind of reassurance. My hand is right here. You can feel it in your back. I'm not going to let you go. And then people will like kind of trust that. And then you take the hand away. They don't even notice that you've taken the hand away. And they're like, their mind is blown that they're like doing it by themselves.
So we just got back from vacation and we went rappelling in Israel. And I took my whole family. Not all of us ended up doing it, but we went up to the mountain. We were hanging off the cliff. We were looking over the cliff. Mm-hmm. It was maybe 50 or 60 feet down. And as a bigger dude, I just don't see myself hanging off a cliff by that little rope. And the guy, his name was Tommy, he says, don't worry about it. He said all the wrong things to me. Uh-huh. He said, don't worry about it. He said, even if your rope snaps, which is not what I wanted to hear. I didn't really hear anything he said after that. So even if your rope snaps, he goes, I have another rope and I will hold you up.
You're like,
and Tommy's about 110 pounds. So I was like, no, Tommy, I studied physics. If my rope snaps, you are not holding me up. Yeah. I am dragging you down. And God bless you. I hope you land on top of me.
Oh, it's kind of crazy because if somebody asked me to go skydiving, I'd say absolutely not.
Oh, really? Because why?
Bungee jumping? I would not
never.
Do it.
So, well, that's interesting.
So,
because you don't like falling, but falling is different than...
Well, that's also putting trust in something else. Like, I get to climb myself up the fabric. I'm trusting me.
You're trusting the fabric.
Well,
I
also made sure the rigging is,
solid.
We actually had somebody from Cirque du Soleil come in and rig it.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So, it's professional. It's OSHA approved. Like, we've got...
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's a real deal.
Yeah, it's very safe. It's number one. Like I said, I got to do this until I'm 100, so I'm going to make sure everybody's safe.
What about rappelling? Zip lines?
Well,
zip lines.
I didn't put together the zip line.
Right.
I guess maybe that's why. I don't know.
You don't like it?
No, I've ziplined before. Yeah, I've ziplined before. They do have two.
They have a double.
Yep, they do have a double.
So if one snaps.
Yeah. But I don't need it because I'm hanging upside down every day and, doing it anyways. Yeah.
All right, guys, this has been a fun conversation. I loosely commit to bring my whole family down and trying
Please.
It one time.
All right. You should.
For an Instagram.
You know we're
going
to hold
shoot.
You to that.
Yeah. I'm hoping to get at least 3 more followers besides my mom.
I started following you.
I know you did. I was very grateful. My mom is 2 of my followers, actually. She's
Are you the third one? Like a different profile?
I'm 2 more of my followers. thank you a million times over for being here. You're both really kind of cool to meet and work with. I feel blessed. And you've
Ditto.
Made me take something that I think I would totally never do and feel like I really want to try it.
Good.
So hopefully we will and we'll post it. Where can we find you online?
Upflyingyoga.com.
Upflyingyoga.com.
Yeah.
And is there for outside of Los Angeles or are there like...
We've trained instructors that teach outside of Los Angeles, and you can find that staff on UpFlyingYoga.com.
On UpFlyingYoga.com? Yeah. Are there more and more all the time?
Yeah.
Are there, like, studios?
I just finished the training. No, we trained aerial yoga instructors that teach outside, but not other UpFlying Yogas.
Is that in the works?
It, I mean,
after this... After,
I mean,
this,
after
podcast,
this podcast,
my mom's
yeah,
at least going to be
years.
100 plus. She's got a way to go before
we're ready.
She's 100.
Let me gear up.
All right. At home, thanks for listening to our podcast. If you have any questions, comments, or topic ideas, send us an email, info@informedpregnancy.com.
Doctor, doctor, give me the news. I got a whole lot of questions for you. This kid's gonna test my will. I got a lot to learn. Baby, still.
This episode is sponsored by an innovative product that's made a big difference for parents and babies alike, Dr. Mom Butt Balm. As a parent of four, I've had my fair share of battles with diaper rash, often resorting to thick, unpleasant pastes. I only recently discovered Dr. Mom Butt Balm, and I was immediately impressed by its pleasant consistency and ease of application. This pediatric-approved skin protectant is free from dyes, preservatives, and zinc oxide, making it perfect for your baby's sensitive skin. It's designed by a doctor who's also a mom, ensuring your little one gets the gentlest care. A small dab is all it takes to soothe and protect, avoiding the mess and hassle of traditional treatments. With ingredients like dimethicone and petrolatum, Dr. Mom Butt Balm not only soothes, but also restores your baby's delicate skin. Available on Amazon.com and Walmart.com, it's the smart choice for every parent wanting to keep diaper rash at bay. Remember, with Dr. Mom Butt Balm, nothing comes between you and your baby, not even diaper rash.